Hey, what's up, Echo? Man, it's so great to be here with you today. Man, it's so amazing to see how many of you are gathering together with us each and every week who normally attend our physical campuses. And I love hearing the stories of even some of you who you're joining with us for our services right now, and you started joining online with us during COVID. And even some of you are jumping in from all over the country and even other parts of the world to be here today. And it's really an honor to be here and be sharing with you today. Hey, my name is David, and in case we haven't met, I'm the campus pastor at Echo South San Jose campus. So listen, I got to say a special shout out to my South San Jose people. I love you guys. I miss you. I can't wait to be back in person with you as we come out of this. And today, for all of us at Echo, even for those of you who may be jumping in for the very first time online with us today, we want to invite you to check in with us. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know how we can pray for you. If you're here for the first time, let us know it's your first time with us. We would love to be able to say thank you and even send you a special gift for jumping in for the first time with us today. And listen, here's how we can all do this. We can all go to echo.church/check-in. That's echo.church/check-in. Come check in with us. It's a simple form. Take you just a couple minutes to be able to check in with us today. Now, as we look around our world today, man, we have been going through some crazy times, haven't we? It has been absolutely insane. And when you read the news right now, sometimes when you go through your news feed or even on social media, sometimes it feels like there's no good news out there. I don't know if you felt like this. I mean, I've been thumbing through things. I look at all these different places, and I'm just like, man, everybody is politically attacking somebody. There's always something happening. There's another crisis. There's all these things that are happening in our world today. And sometimes when I go down the rabbit hole of looking at the news, I don't really come out with a positive outlook. I don't know if you feel like that. I mean, you kind of come out with like, what's going on? What else could happen in 2020? It's kind of the way it starts to feel. But today, I want to share some good news with you. I want to share some news that's actually exciting, some ways that God has been using our church to make a difference. And there is some good news even in the midst of a sea of bad news. And this good news I want to share with you today is about some of the work that God is doing and that we have gotten to be a part of in the country of Brazil. Now, about 4 years ago, we as a church decided that we wanted to partner with ministries to impact regions of this country in Brazil. And this is how it started. We came across a church that we were able to help start that was starting also a Compassion International Child Development Center, helping release children from poverty through the local church right there. So over 4 years ago, our church generously gave over $75,000 to help get this started. And since then, God has continued to do an amazing work. In fact, we've had over 100 families or individuals that are sponsoring children at the Compassion Development Centers in this region. You can even see some of the pictures here of some of the families that have been going on mission trips and connecting with sponsor kids through Compassion. We've been able to send teams down who have gone and worked to put on programs and do vacation Bible schools and work with the church that's there. And even in this area, you can see some of the extreme poverty that's here in this region of Brazil we're able to impact. This is actually one of the homes. If we go back to that, it's actually one of the homes from one of the children who is in the Compassion Center that's being sponsored. So these kids are being impacted, coming out of poverty, getting education, health care, nutrition, and they're getting to hear about Jesus all in the midst of this. On top of this, we've been able to partner with leaders in a ministry called Pense Laranja that is helping take children's ministry and student ministry curriculums, like the ones that we use in our church and churches all over the U.S. use, that churches in Brazil don't have. And there's an amazing team right here that is in Brazil taking this curriculum, and they're translating it into Portuguese, and they are resourcing churches all over the country to do better at reaching kids and students. And we get to be part of this. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what is happening and the way that they've been able to connect with churches and help churches get better across this entire country of Brazil. Now, one of the other cool things is that first church that we were able to help start a few years ago has since then started 7 new churches, and they've got another one on the way that they're starting. That's absolutely amazing. And then this past year, in December of 2019, before we even knew anything about COVID and you wouldn't even think about coronavirus and all these other things, we as a church, as part of our year-end offering, we set aside a portion of that money to go into Brazil. And part of that was to be able to help one of these churches build a brand new building in their community to better do ministry and reach their community. And now you can see in 2020 that some of the construction picks right here, they're building out this whole building to do ministry in this area. And you can see this next one is going to show you this is what it's going to look like once this building gets built. And y'all, this is one of the coolest things, okay? Before we even knew COVID was happening, before coronavirus knew was coming, God knew it was coming, right? And he moved in our hearts to want to partner with this church that God is doing so much amazing work with. And this town where this church is really got hit hard by COVID. Many of the people in the area who were already in poverty or poor lost their jobs at the local brick factory. And as a result, were now unemployed trying to take care of their families. But because of the generosity of our church to be able to help this church in the construction, they're hiring the unemployed people from this community to help build the church. And therefore, it is building the church, supporting the families in need, and it is becoming a light in the middle of this community of impact. Not only that, but this year when COVID hit this area, in its poverty, it hit extremely hard, and many people were going without food and struggling to get food. And so we as a church were able to send $5,000 extra dollars this year to help put together 250 food baskets that you see right here that were given out by the local church to people in need. Even some of the people showed up, and some of the stories we're getting back where kids were starting to hit starvation, people were going without food, and now they've got food. And y'all, check this out. I think this is even cooler. Because of these efforts in this community in Brazil, the church now has more people coming and being impacted through its ministries than before COVID even started 6 months ago. Isn't that amazing? And it all started right here because people were being hungry with a vision. Our church came in with generosity. God is leading and God is moving. And this is the important thing when you see all this stuff. God is moving. There is good news because Jesus is still on the throne and he's changing lives. And we get to be part of that. So even when we look around our country, our world, and the news, and we see, seems like everything is negative, God is moving, and he is doing this. And you know one of the reasons why we have to step into this even more? Because I believe that there's going to be more good news that God is wanting to do in and through our lives, and that we're going to get to experience. And it all comes back to the heartbeat of why we even started this partnership in Brazil. Like, why go through all this? Why pick a country? Why give money to it? Why send mission teams? Why sponsor kids? And it's because at the end of the day, our goal as a church, as followers of Jesus, is that we want to be people who live life on mission. And when we live life on mission, we leverage our unique talents and influence for the kingdom of God. So listen to this. If we're going to live life on mission, we are not going to be consumers, but we are going to be contributors to a purpose greater than ourselves. See, a life on mission is something that's calling us to a higher purpose. We are giving our lives to something greater. We are going to be contributors and not consumers. And we're going to leverage what we have in our hands to be able to make a difference. And the reason that we want to be a people who live life on mission is because of the great commission that would come from Jesus. In fact, last week, Pastor Andy, as he closed out our How to Echo message series, gave a great message incorporating this great commission from Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you missed it, to go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to that whole series because, listen, it's going to teach you some habits and some ways of thinking that are going to help you even in the midst of COVID or if you're listening to this way in the future, any other season of life that you're hitting. So make sure you go back and listen to that. But listen to what Jesus would say in the Great Commission. This is in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples. So he gathers his crowd together. He comes and he sits down to talk to him. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because I've got all the authority, now I'm telling you, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So right here in this Great Commission, here is this commissioning from Jesus. I've got all authority. I'm giving it to you. Now I'm sending you to all the nations to make a difference, to tell them about me, to tell them about the things I've commanded you, I've taught you, to tell them about how to have life in Jesus. And he's sending us out. See, the Great Commission really is all about life on mission. Because the Great Commission is life on mission. See, if we are going to do and take serious what Jesus said to us as followers of Jesus as a church, then we are going to live our lives on mission. We're going to leverage every resource we have, every talent we have. We're not going to be consumers. We're going to be contributors. Why? Because the Great Commission is life on mission. And when I think about this idea of what Jesus is calling us to, and about living life on mission, like you see that he's calling us to a higher purpose. He's calling us to give our lives to something greater. And when I think about our lives, I mean, think about what's around us. We live in such a unique time. And not just because of COVID. I mean, we're in a lot of unique, unprecedented stuff right now. But we live in such a unique time just in history. And for those of you who are joining today, and you live, especially here in the Bay Area, we live in such a unique place. And yet so many of us, we have all of our material needs are met. I mean, you may have things that you want. Like, we always want maybe a newer car or a bigger house. I mean, Bay Area, you know, like you want to go from like 500 square feet to like 700. You feel like you like really got big, you know? Like we all want something, but we have the needs and the material items that we really need, especially when you look in light of some of the other parts of our country, like our partnerships in Brazil. Yet so often I think what can happen is we start charging after I need, I have to have, I want to get, like I want to be more successful, I want to have more money, I want to have the bigger house. And some of these things, they're not bad goals. They're not bad goals, but they are bad gods. And if we start to go after these things, we place them up in front, like it's the thing that I'm constantly consumed by, I'm thinking about, I'm pursuing, my life is all about, then what happens is it starts to step in the way of our focus on being able to see God and where he is leading us. And the Great Commission is calling us to live life on mission, to give our lives to something with a greater and higher purpose. And when I think about this, try to think forward 30 years from now. You're sitting on your porch, you're in your living room, you're wherever you're at 30 years from now. What do you want to feel when you look back over the previous decades? What do you want to look back over the previous decades and celebrate? And what are the things that when you look back over those previous 30 years, you don't want to regret? See, if I can try now to frame my thinking around what Jesus is saying, to live life on mission, I'm thinking about things with a higher purpose, with an eternal focus. And I'm shaping my decisions today for the story that I want to tell tomorrow. And this higher purpose, it really is, it's all rooted in love. In fact, Jesus would say to the disciples, people would be asking him, what's the greatest commands? And he would say, the greatest commandment, number one, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second one is like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus said, hey, the greatest things you can do in your life is to love God and love people. And I think sometimes when we talk about this, we kind of maybe get off a little bit and we think it's all about like this emotion love and I got to feel this, because so much of our love that we talk about today is all about feeling, but it's really about serving someone, putting someone first, choosing to place someone above yourself, sacrificing for someone. True love is not a feeling, it is a choice. It is a commitment. And even in our places of work today, we can model the type of love that Jesus is calling us to in the Great Commission. In fact, I love seeing how the secular world sometimes, they echo the truths that we see in Scripture all the time. And our leadership team here at Echo right now, we're reading a great book, secular leadership book called Scaling Leadership. And in this book, they interview a Boeing and Ford former CEO, Alan Mulally. And I want you to hear what he says about love. He says, the purpose of our success, and he's talking about leadership success as a CEO. He says, the purpose of our success is to serve others because that's the ultimate reward. The purpose of life is to love and be loved. This is coming from a CEO talking about his leadership in his organization. It sounds very similar to things that we read in Scripture. Because listen to what John, one of the disciples of Jesus, would say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, dear children. Now, when he says dear children, he's not just talking to like the kids, like an Echo Kids. He's talking to like all of us as followers of Jesus. Because at this point, John is, he's advanced in his golden years. And so he's looking at everybody like a kid right now. And he's saying, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. See, there's something really powerful in this. Because we can say, like, I love you and I love people and I love God and everything like this. But if my love is not moving me to action, then is it really love in practice? Because life on mission is love in action. Life on mission is love in action. So if I'm going to live my life on mission, if I'm going to put the Great Commission ahead, I'm going to live life on mission to do the Great Commission, then I'm going to have to practice love in action. Because love is putting someone ahead of ourselves. Love is acting on this. Love is choosing to sacrifice for someone. Love is choosing to help pour into a community like in Brazil. Love is being generous. Love is doing these things to place someone above ourselves. And listen to what Solomon, one of the wisest persons to ever walk the face of the earth, would write in Proverbs, which is found in the Old Testament. So in Proverbs 3, verse 27, he says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. And I think this is really powerful. When it is in your power to act. See, all of us can act in love. All of us have some kind of power that we can act on today. It doesn't matter like where your financial place is. It doesn't matter where your social status is. It doesn't matter how successful you feel you are. It doesn't matter. We can all act in love in some way. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. And y'all, I loved hearing in the beginning of COVID, you saw so many stories and heard about so many people who were acting in love. They're doing good for someone else. And this is how you really, at the beginning of COVID, right? Let's be honest. This is how you really knew somebody loved you to the point where they were willing to put their love in action. It's when they shared their toilet paper with you. Isn't it? Like, man, like I heard stories of people like mailing toilet paper to friends and people like rationing it out their houses and doing toilet paper drops on somebody's front door. Like that became an immediate display of someone who had power to act in good doing something to love somebody, wasn't it? See, it's these simple things that we can do this. But what the Great Commission is saying is act in your power. Love in action is ultimately to bring somebody and point somebody to Jesus. So if my toilet paper with an invite to Echo got somebody to be able to listen, to be able to see Jesus, like I'm doing everything and leveraging everything I can with a bigger purpose because my life is on mission and I am practicing my love in action so that somebody might say yes to Jesus. And see, we can all act in power in some way, but I think, I don't know about you, but this is what's happening for me. Is the longer that this goes on, the longer it feels like we're just like kind of just going through this. It just kind of feels like you kind of, I personally feel like I start to get numb to some of different ways to do this. I begin to just kind of, I'm in my routine of like, I'm at the house. Kids are on homeschool / like they go to school, but they're like on a Google class and the internet keeps breaking and all this other stuff. Like, I don't know if you're like this, you know, you're just like solving one crisis from the next in your home. Then you got like Zoom meetings galore and then you got this and that and then you read the news and all this, and you're just like, man, I don't know. I just want to like go outside and then it's smoky. I mean, like, come on. Like, it's like all these things are happening and you begin to kind of lose a little bit of that edge and that passion to live life on mission. And one of the things I've been praying is that God would do something in me to wake me up a little bit. And part of what's been helpful for me is doing a life on mission self-assessment. And I want to encourage you with this, maybe to think about some of this for yourself. So if you're going to give yourself a life on mission self-assessment, maybe you want to ask some questions like this. When was the last time I prayed for someone to say yes to Jesus? Like, when was the last time you prayed by name for somebody saying, God, would you let them meet you? Would you let them experience forgiveness in you? And you prayed for them every day for a week. You prayed for them all the time to be able to say yes to Jesus. When was the last time you actively tried to explain my faith in Jesus to someone? Like, maybe you may not even fully know how to get all the words in, but I tried. I'm trying to let somebody know that Jesus is changing my life and he's doing something. I got to talk about it. I got to talk about my church. Even though we're online, I got to talk about what God's doing because I can't keep this in. When was the last time you tried to explain it? When was the last time I asked God to break my heart for what breaks his? I don't know about you, but I realize it's been a while since I've been praying this. Like, I kind of just get going to my thing. I'm stressed either about finances or we got kids' school or we got work. We got all these other things to do. And I'm like doing all this stuff. And it was like, God, what are you really, what's breaking your heart right now that I'm not seeing? When was the last time you prayed that? When was the last time you actually thought about it and wrote down thoughts? And when was the last time I did a personal budget asking God, where are you leading me to give? And the reason I put this one in here is because I think, man, where your money is, Jesus even said, like, where your money is, your heart is, like, your treasure is. Like we can get so tied to that. And even in this time where we can be anxious, when was the last time I sat and said, God, where do you want me to give? And that's how I start my budget. And not like, where do you want me to give, like, 10 bucks? Like, where do you want me to give, like, 10%? Where do you want me to give 15% right now? Where are the kingdom opportunities that you want me to invest in? And when I start to look at these things, it starts to give me a self-assessment on how I'm living with my life on mission. And I want to ask you, would you maybe even join me in this season in praying and asking God to give you a fresh commitment to where he's calling you? Would you even, like, right now, just like as you're sitting there, maybe even you just want to put your hands out and say, God, would you speak to me in a fresh way? Would you wake me up out of my comfort? Would you wake me up out of my numbness? Would you let me live life on mission with a higher purpose? Maybe even just you want to seal it right there as you're listening to this and say, God, yes, I want to be used by you. I want to make an impact for you. Because life on mission is the Great Commission, and life on mission is love in action. And you know, we live in a really unique place, a unique time in history. We have unique talents. I mean, like, when we look around our church, there are people who are more talented, more passionate, more financially able, with more global access than maybe any other time in history. When you look around our church, you look around this Bay Area, and to think what could happen if we collectively could come together and say, we want to be a group of people who live life on mission. What kind of a difference and impact could we make together as we said yes to where God is leading us? And today, I want to invite you to take a very practical step right now to live life on mission, to make a difference, and to make a difference in the work that even we as a whole church get to be part of in Brazil. And we have an opportunity today. We have an opportunity in Brazil to sponsor more children through the Compassion International child development programs that are helping release children from poverty. And today we can be part of sponsoring and helping sponsor children in the same region of Brazil where we are currently working. And in case you're new to Compassion, let me just tell you, my wife Kendall and I, we started sponsoring our first Compassion child over 10 years ago. There's a little boy in Ethiopia. His name was Kenna. He was like the cutest little kid you ever seen in your life. And we started sponsoring this little boy. He was able to start going into the Compassion Development Center, and he's able to be there. We got like one or two letters. But unfortunately, Kenna passed away. Just a couple years or less after we started sponsoring him, he was just over 5 years old, and he passed away. And when something like that happens, it shows you that for these children, the sponsorship really is urgent, that it really does matter. For them to get access to education, to health care, to nutrition, this really does matter. And we sometimes here, we may not see it as much because we're in such a different place. But in these areas of extreme poverty, your sponsorship could be the difference between life and death. It could be the difference between generations being free from poverty or staying stuck in it. And since Kenna passed away, Kendall and I were able to start sponsoring two other children. And so for the past 7 years, we've sponsored two children. And one of the girls, one of them is a girl, and now she's a teenager. And it's been amazing because you get to write letters back and forth with them. And now here she is stepping into her teenage years, and she's writing us letters, sharing now verses and prayers for us, her sponsors. And it's amazing because you get to be part of helping shape and impact somebody else's life, even from afar. And by sponsoring a kid, listen, you may never get to see him while you're on earth, but can you imagine the hug that's in heaven? Imagine that hug that you're going to get to say, thank you for being my sponsor. And you know, it's a financial contribution that we get to do, that we get to be generous to make a difference in their lives. And all throughout the church, even the early church, they made a difference through their generosity and through their offerings. In fact, Paul would write to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, and he would say, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Listen, through our generosity, from the very beginning of the early church, when Paul would write this letter, even to today, it's like sowing seeds. It's like a farmer putting seeds in. And today, when you give and you sponsor a child, you're sowing seeds of hope and life change into one of these children's lives. And what really strikes me is thinking about the generational pivot and difference this could make. Because of your sponsorship, because of my sponsorship, we're able to help a child get the education, the healthcare, the nutrition, and other resources they need that could set them, their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids off on a completely different generational pathway. All because we were willing, as followers of Jesus, to live life on mission and to leverage what was in our hands to make a difference. And I wonder today if you'd be willing to take that step. Now listen, I know some of you today, some of you are here, you're listening, you're joining us online, you're watching this later, and you're still trying to figure out what you're doing in faith and exploring what it means to have faith in Jesus and understand this. And here's the thing I want you to understand, is that life on mission is not something we do to get to God. It's not something we do to get forgiveness. Life on mission is because of what Jesus has done. See, salvation for us, forgiveness for us, the hope of heaven comes because of what Jesus has done on a cross. That Jesus himself would live on mission. That he would step as the Son of God out of heaven down to this earth to live a perfect sinless life. To go to the cross where he would give his life so that the sins may be forgiven. That God's plan would be for Jesus to go to the cross, to die, to give his life, to go to the grave, and 3 days later to be resurrected from the dead. So that when we put our faith and our hope in Jesus, when we look to him, we could be forgiven. And today, maybe that's the step that is your step to take. You've been trying, you've been striving, you've been trying to almost like pay penance or do these things to try to get back to God. But what God needs you to hear today is it's already done. And today is the day that you can put your faith in Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm just trusting you for my forgiveness. And now, as we as followers of Jesus start to walk out of that, the reason that we live on mission is because of what Jesus has done in us. So we want to see him do that in other people. And I want to invite all of us today to take that step to live life on mission, to let our love and our faith move to action today. And today we can be coming together to make a difference, to continue to make a difference here and to make a difference in Brazil. So would you be willing today to sponsor a child through Compassion to help make a difference? Listen, I want you to hear a message from Pastor Andy, our lead pastor here at Echo, more about how we can make a difference by sponsoring a child.